I wanted to start out today with a little story about a grandson talking to his grandfather. Grandson told of his anger at a classmate who had done him an injustice. His Cherokee grandfather said, "Let me tell you a story. I too have felt a great hate for those who have taken so much with no sorrow for what they do. But hate wears you down and does not hurt your enemy. It's like taking poison and wishing our enemy would die. I've struggled with these feelings many times. It is as if there are two wolves inside of me. One is good and does no harm. He lives in harmony with all around him and does not take offense when no offense was intended. He will fight only when it is right to do so and in the right way. But the other wolf is full of anger. The littlest thing will set him into a fit of temper, and he fights with everyone all the time for no reason. He cannot think because his anger and hate are so great. It is hard to live with these two wolves inside of me, for both of them try to dominate my spirit." The grandson thought for a moment and then looked intently into his grandfather's eyes and asked this question: "Which one, grandfather? Which one wins?" And the grandfather simply replied, "The one I feed. The one I feed." And so, which one are you feeding? Are you always looking at what's at the negative? You know, always about what's not working, how life is so hard, how you never have enough. Is your ego, your personality, your local selves, are they all worrying and rushing and trying and striving and pushing to do things, trying so hard to live life that you push any possible chance of joy right out of your life? Or do you see this beautiful, opulent world that you live in? All of the beautiful people that are surrounding you. Do you see the flow of God's great good in this universe and how you are a part of that flow? Are you smiling and happy and energetic, joyous and enthusiastic about life and living? Are you living from your true spiritual essential self, pushing less and loving more? Affirm with me these affirmations. I am love. I am wisdom. I am power. I am patience. I am surrender. I am the beloved. And that's the truth about who you are. In unity, we believe that we are spiritual beings living in a human experience. We're not a human being having an occasional spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings that are living in this human experience called life. So where are you going to hang out? Where are you going to spend most of your time? In the human world or in the spiritual realm? With your ego or with your beloved? In this everyday world or in the kingdom of heaven? It's a choice. It's a choice, and it all comes down to a decision. Where are you going to spend your time? Wallowing in this human experience or raising up your vibration and your consciousness, spending more and more time in this spiritual universe, in your inner sanctuary, which is really your home. That's your real home in this spiritual universe. That's where your soul really wants to hang out. And so here we are in the fifth week of our 7-week fall program that we've called Birth 2012, Co-Creating a Planetary Shift. That's what we're doing here together. And we are studying this wonderful book by Barbara Marx Hubbard called Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence. And what we're doing is we're birthing ourselves as this new baby universal human. And we are awakening to something new that is happening within us. We started this series back the end of September by entering the inner sanctuary. That was the first step. This whole program is about 10 progressive steps that we're doing in 7 weeks to that shift, to make that shift from ego to essence. So our first step is entering the inner sanctuary, creating that place of readiness in which the beloved can be awakened. It's creating that space for something new to happen. And then the second week of our program, the beginning of October, we spent the time welcoming the beloved. We created the environment, then we began welcoming, being aware of our true spiritual essential self, the beloved, the Christ within. And we made the commitment to spend as much time as possible in the presence of the beloved. And then our third week, we accepted this new identity. And we started the journey of coming home. Coming home to ourselves, coming home to the beloved, coming home all the way to who we really are. And last week, it was all about union, uniting the human and the divine, our humanity and our divinity. You know, freeing ourselves from any kind of ideas that we, or any sense of, or the illusion of any separation from the beloved. And opening ourselves to the joy of the oneness, our oneness with our divine presence, that divine self within. And so today, now it's about the shift. You know, shifting our identity. And this is a place where we step into the next stage of childhood. You know, the infant now becomes a child. And if you remember in the first week of our series, Barbara Marks Hubbard compares this whole emergence process that we're moving through to a biological birth. And she said, the first stage is conception. And within us, that is marked by these sudden awakenings, insights, intuitive flashes, a sense of oneness with God and with all beings. And then the second stage is gestation. Once we've had this awakening, we then get on this search. You know, we go to classes and workshops and we study and we pray and we meditate and we just go on a search for something more. And then that leads us to our fourth stage of birth. We get to that point where we're no longer willing to look outside of ourselves for answers. And we begin to really know that what we're looking for is within us. It's within us. The higher power is within us. And then that leads us to our fourth stage, which is infancy. And this is the place where the emergence process started. And this is the place where we've been in for the last 4 weeks. We're training ourselves to focus more on that essence of our true being. And so now comes childhood. We're stepping into another stage of growth, of our spiritual growth. And Barbara writes in Emergence, at this stage of childhood, we make the fundamental shift or phase change from ego to essence. We realize what mystics have always taught, that we are the expressions of universal designing intelligence. The essential self is the guide that has been guiding us. We are the expression of the inner voice that we have been hearing. We are the incarnation of the beloved that we have been seeking. And she says a new identity emerges out of the fusion of the beloved and the local self or the ego. And the young universal human begins to emerge. Now, I just want to take a moment here, kind of a little sidebar, to say that this process that Barbara went through took over 2 years. We're going through it in 7 weeks. So we're just scratching the surface. This is just a thumbnail sketch of the 10 steps, and we're doing it in 7 weeks. So there are even some weeks that we're doubling up on 2 of the steps. And so don't, you know, I've been hearing, well, I haven't gotten the first step. Well, this is an introduction. You're going to have to go back. Once you understand the process, then you'll need to go back after we finish these 7 weeks and dive into it and take each step and spend several months with each step. So don't be hard on yourself. Barbara actually writes, the emergence process is a lifelong evolutionary journey that deepens every time you revisit it. So she's kind of hinting that you're going to do it again and again and again, and each time going a little bit deeper. So it requires a conscious effort to shift the I of identity from the one who's asking to the one who knows. Right? And it's not just remembering the beloved presence. You know, it's actually placing the I of your identity in that divine presence. Living and moving and having your very being as essence. You know, you're not seeking the guidance of some higher self. You are that higher self. You are essence. We are essence. And as we begin that shift from ego to essence, we become a co-creator of our own experience. And then we must begin to speak as the beloved. And as the beloved speaks out loud, as that beloved speaks out loud, the voice actually begins to change us. We get change. The cells of our being shift and change because we're speaking out of the truth of who we are. And we then begin to awaken to a shift into a new life. Barbara, in Emergence, writes, the process of shifting our identity certainly requires no less from us than the training an athlete must go through for the Olympics. Think about that. It requires total commitment and daily practice. Practice, practice, practice. She goes on to say, to anchor the shift, I spoke out loud and then wrote down a set of declarative statements, including, and these are on your affirmation card, we'll be saying them at the end of the service. I am the guide who's been guiding. I am the voice I've been hearing. I am the beloved that I have loved. I am the universal human I've been preparing to birth. As that, I am here, present now in every cell of my being. And she says, I felt the words become flesh as they incarnated and filled me with their radiance. I consumed the words. They were alive in me. And so in unity, we call these declarative statements affirmations. Right? Affirmations. And by speaking affirmations, we're claiming the truth that is ours. And these affirmations, they are the yes action of the mind. You know, it's not that, you know, we just hope for something to happen, or, you know, but we actually think it, know it, and feel it. And when we can know and feel it in every fiber of our being, then we can speak the word, and the power of our spoken word, through that power of the spoken word, whatever we're focused on, we will manifest. It's all about energy. It's all about consciousness. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity, he said, words are the most powerful agent of the mind. I mean, words are the most powerful agent of the mind. And he goes on to say that words are the tools of the mind that create the conditions and the experiences of your life. You are using the power of the spoken word, whether you are aware of it or not. You are constantly using the power of the spoken word, whether you know it or not. It's like Brother Paul, who joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. The only time they could talk was to the abbot, and their conversation was limited to two words every 10 years. After 10 years, the abbot called Brother Paul in and asked if he had anything to say. Food cold, said Brother Paul. I'll look into it, said the abbot. Another 10 years passed, and the abbot again asked Brother Paul if he had anything to say. Bed hard, Brother Paul replied. The abbot said, I'll look into it. 10 years later, the abbot once more asked Brother Paul if he had anything to say. I quit, he answered. I'm not surprised, said the abbot. All you've done since you've arrived is complain, complain, complain. And so ask yourself, what are the words that I'm speaking? You know, what are the words that you are speaking? You know, imagine if you only had two words every 10 years. You know, but, you know, what are the words that you're speaking, and is that the experience and the life that you want to be creating? Is that what you want to be living? Because our words, our life, actually is the result of our words. So take a look and see, is that the life, what you're speaking, your words, are they saying, bringing forth into expression that which you want to be experiencing? You know, imagine that you're the watering can for the garden of life. Just, you'd have that image for a minute, that you're just this watering can for this garden of life. And you want every word that comes out of your mouth to do four things. The first thing, let your words be positive, let them be uplifting, let them be nourishing, and let them be life-affirming. So every word that you speak should be positive, uplifting, nourishing, and life-affirming. And so what I'd like you to do this week, the practice that I'd like you to do, is it's in your study guide, and it's also part of my thought for the week in the weekly e-newsletter. If you're not getting that weekly e-newsletter, go to the website and sign up for it. At unityofbellevue.org, because I do a thought for the week every week, and you have other things that are going on. It's a way for us to stay in contact with you. But you have the practice for this week where I am asking you to create and write affirmations from the voice of your essential self. You know, as that voice, as that truth of who you are, begin to write your own affirmations. And speak them out loud. Make them your mantras. You know, because this is the truth of who you are. Begin to speak as the beloved. And let the beloved come in all the way. Let your essential self have full authority within you. Because as we begin this shift, as we make the shift from ego to essence, we become co-creators of the world around us. Make it a beautiful one, filled with joy and peace and love. So let's begin now to move into our meditation time. And I invite you to close your eyes and to get comfortable and to become aware of your breathing. Just breathing deeply and slowly, and relax and open up as we begin to move into the silence. And so breathing in and out, breathing deeply and slowly, breathing through your heart and connecting to the love that is in your heart, becoming one with your essential self, your essence. And breathing in and out through your heart, breathe that love into your whole body, your whole being. And send love out to the world. And as you enter your inner sanctuary, let these words be your words. I enter the inner sanctuary that resides forever in my being. I am at peace. I am at rest. I'm fully protected and safe. In this sacred space, I place my attention on the beloved that I am, dwelling in that brilliance and the beauty of the presence of the beloved. And now invite the beloved to enter, to take full dominion within. And any part of yourself that feels separate, just enfold it in love. And see a beautiful light filling your inner sanctuary. And the Beloved infuses every fiber of your being with its divine radiance. And there's no separation. There is only one. And entering this field of love and light, just allow this radiance, this light, this love to penetrate every cell and molecule of your being. Releasing any sense of separation. Being enfolded in the radiant light of pure being. Becoming one with the Beloved. Becoming one with all. I'm infused with the bliss of union. My cells awaken to the truth. I am essence. I am the Beloved. And with this knowing, with this remembrance of who we are, let us rest now in this radiant light and love of our own true self as we rest for a moment in the silence. And I am no longer a separated self. I am the eyes and ears and hands and feet and the voice of the Beloved. I am a universal human. I have come home now. So as we bring this meditation to a close, beginning to leave this inner sanctuary, but still staying in this energy, coming back to this time and to this place, and with a deep, deep sense of gratitude for what we have experienced, we simply say thank you. Thank you. And so it is. We let it be. Amen.